Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, the weekly mortgage market update, providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. It's a hot day here in Texas, and it's a hot day in the market. My goodness sakes. S&P's news of downgrading the U.S. debt. Now again today, they downgraded Fannie, Freddie. Lots of things going on in the markets. And we have with us Joe Farr, who is at a conference, but dialed in to give us an update on all this that's going on. Joe Farr, good to have you on the program. What in the world are we to anticipate with this week, with what lies ahead?
Yeah, you wouldn't have anticipated that the downgrade, the very thing downgraded, is rallying today. But let me ask, can you hear me okay?
We hear you. You're dialing with a cell phone. We're just so glad to hear you and have you be with us.
Okay.
Well, it may not be quite the same as you normally is, but we'll deal with it. So the bond, so it, kind of what's going on today is, it, you know, stocks are starting to recover some of the losses. It seems like it's more of a headliner issue. So what can we anticipate today?
Well, you know, we've seen a volatile day so far. The MBS prices are up significantly, and as you said, they've been going up, stocks have been going down, and vice versa. And so, we're seeing a flight to safety. I don't think that the downgrade has terribly large amount of effect on prices right now. I think it's more just having to do with the economy and the European debt situation and. The downgrade's not that big a deal, quite frankly.
Yeah, so it seems to be the general attitude. It's volatile. Yeah, it creates more uncertainty, but it's good for bonds. But, you know, stocks are taking a hit, but they're settling in at a range that's lower. Let's kind of go over. So, I mean, it's a big news day, and we're going to be talking more about that, I'm sure, throughout the week. And a lot more. But let's kind of go back over last week. There were some general concerns about economic growth that was going on last week, Joe, but give us a rundown as best you can while you're there at the conference.
We had a huge first 4 days for MBS prices. They soared over 200 basis points, the MBS prices did. So mortgage rates fell probably 3/8 of a point or so. And it started Monday with a fairly weak ISM report. Just the whole week we saw MBS prices improve and stock prices fall. 750 point drop in the Dow Monday through Thursday. But then on Friday the jobs report came out, and the jobs report was better than expected, and the market had sold heavy, and so there was a nice little turnaround in the stock market, albeit brief, as we're seeing today. And stocks rallied, MBS prices fell half of what they'd gained before. So net on the week, we were up about a 1% in prices, but the 2% that we had improved by through the first 4 days, half of that evaporated on Friday alone. Two things happened on Friday. First, it was the jobs report that I mentioned. We had a significantly stronger net new jobs created than what was anticipated. And prior months were revised higher as well. But the second phase of the stock or the price improvement came as the European Union committed to purchase the debt instruments of Spain and Italy. And so,
that's right.
You know, the market kind of read that as, maybe there's not that contagion that everyone's talked about, and that, the opportunity for the sovereign debt of the European nations would not spill over into the larger market. So we rallied on that too. But that was short-lived, as we're seeing today, because continued concern over the European debt is still there and still part of the cause of the MBS price improvement today and stock market drop today.
And I think we can anticipate some volatility throughout the week. What do you see? We got the Fed meets again on Tuesday. What else do we have, it looks like, Joe, for the week coming up?
Well, we got We got Treasury auctions Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the Wednesday, Thursday are the 10 and the 30 year. So, you know, what's going to happen there?
That'll be very telling.
My guess is that they'll be strongly thought after, and certainly I don't anticipate a big sell off as a result of the auction. So,
I don't either.
So we have that. The Fed meeting minutes or announcement will come out at 2:15 on Tuesday. And then the last big thing for the week is retail sales. Comes out Friday morning at 8:30. And, the investors are really looking for more information on the economy. Is it as weak as people are starting to think it is? I mean, the jobs report turned things around and caused a great deal of volatility. Retail sales is another big measure, and it could be a big influence on the market, as the Fed is, whenever they meet, whenever their announcements come out. I guess with the weakness, people are starting to look out for QE3 if something like that's going to happen. So,
can imagine that would happen with based on the success of QE1 and QE2. So it'll be interesting. Joe, we appreciate you dialing in while you're at a conference, and I know how difficult it is traveling as much as I do to do that. So we really appreciate you taking time.
Sure.
We're special thankful to you. You're going to be back in the office later in the week if people need to get a hold of you and want to talk to you through all of this?
I will be. I'll be in Thursday and Friday.
All right. Joe, safe travels to you. It's good to have you dial
Thank
in.
You.
Greet everyone there at the conference, our friends there, and we do look forward to having you back soon. Folks,
Thanks
we'll
so
be right. You bet, Joe. Thank you. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. We're excited to bring you another action-packed program with a lot of information. By the way, I was in Washington, D.C. last week, one of the favorite spots that we hear from Alice each and every week, talking about what's going on back there. And certainly there is a lot, and I'm very excited to hear what the report is. By the way, at the top of the program, I didn't mention we've got a special guest coming on later in the program, Todd Mobroton with ResNet. You have got to see some of the technology that we're starting to see come out. This is probably one of the most exciting products. Thrilled to have them on. Stay tuned all the way through the program. You're going to hear Todd and I and our team talk about his products and why I am so excited about that and why so many of us in the industry should take notice. But we have Alice Alvey, and guess what? She's at a conference as well. She took the time to dial in, and we appreciate it so very much. Alice, good to have you with us. You're in Michigan at a Michigan State Conference, are you not?
Yeah, the Michigan Mortgage Lenders Association Conference. We're doing we're alive and well, and we're up here in Traverse City. Absolutely gorgeous view looking out over Grand Traverse Bay and then right around the corner of beautiful Lake Michigan. So anyway, yes. We're
beautiful, beautiful country.
Here,
and it's not
so now I got to think about regulations.
Now let's talk. It's cooler up there than down here, but let's talk about the hot triple-digit topic of regulation. CFPB Dodd-Frank update, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, Congress, I think, is a little tired after going through the whole debt debate, and I think they've all left town. So we'll see what happens, probably not too much over the next couple of weeks. So right now we're basically having to hold our breath on qualified mortgage and qualified risk mortgage. You know, we are QM and QRM definitions, and what are they going to be? So maybe just let's realize those will just sit still for a little bit until they get a chance to read all the feedback, and we'll see what plan B they end up coming up with. So that is just stay tuned at this point. We do have several bills relating to the restructuring of the CFPB. some talk about a five-member board. There's a couple of bills trying to expand the Financial Stability Oversight Council's authority over CFPB. People are concerned about, you know, who's watching the fox, who's watching the hen house kind of thing. So there's definitely some bills that we're having to watch with that, but there's so many of them, it's not worth remembering the numbers. We'll just keep watching and see which ones may, if any, start getting legs once everyone gets back. I do want to make sure everyone realized that the revised ECOA disclosure that was coming out between an ECOA and a FACTA change that was essentially the effective date of the new adverse action notice is August 15th. There was some overlapping dates there between July 21st and actually between coordinating ECOA and FACTA, it ended up being an August 15th implementation date for your new adverse action notices. We are also waiting for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to come up with its version of loan officer compensation. For those of you who remember the subtle difference between the Truth in Lending version and the Dodd-Frank version, there was that difference of, you know, the accountability or the essential, the ability for the loan officer to have liability, yeah, as much as three times liability. So we're waiting to see if that's actually when and if and how that's going to be laid out for the changes in their version of LO Comp. We have some lenders and banks who are concerned, do they have to now start doing a safe harbor disclosure or, you know, an anti-steering safe harbor disclosure? So all that's still trying to be worked out, nothing definite yet. We also think CFPB is going to have to pick up that home secure credit proposed rule. I've gotten several emails lately about people wondering, I thought I had to start getting a HUD-1 out to my borrowers at least 3 days ahead of closing, effective with July 21st. And, you know, I'm digging for this, folks, but I'm going to have to say right now, I can't find it in writing. I know we had some Truth in Lending bills that got pushed back because of the start of the CFPB, but, you know, as of now, it's the till obviously has to be to the borrower at least 3 days ahead of closing, but not the HUD-1. So that's not out there yet. Forms that are pending under the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So just a heads up, we're going to get a new settlement cost booklet. There's provisions in Dodd-Frank regarding FHA loan disclosures that we're going to get FOIA protection, get a home inspection back. Consumers are going to have to get a 10 important things to ask your home inspector. We're obviously going to get our new revised GFE until within the next 18 months, and then also changes to escrow account disclosures, that those are going to have to start going out 3 days ahead of closing. So there are several forms out there that are still watching and waiting for when their changes are going to come up. Another important thing that happened, HUD issued a clarification about RESPA, right? You know, are we settled
on
this
yet?
So picture that in the RESPA rule, we were all told you have to show the owner's title insurance on the good faith estimate. And then when you go to page 3 of the HUD, if the loan's ready to close, you're filling in page 3. If you're in a state or an area where, you know, the seller or transaction where the seller's going to be paying that owner's policy, was I supposed to now still show exactly as my good faith estimate disclosed? Then now on the HUD, the seller's paying it and my borrower's not. That's like padding the 10% in there, right? So, the HUD's clarification is very clear. If it's not a fee paid by the borrower on the HUD, then it doesn't still stay in the good faith estimate column on page 3 of the HUD. There are several other clarifications you want to read, but this one's important because it could cost you money. So if you've been putting in a fee on the GFE that's been inflating or padding that 10% tolerance for you, you better be careful. Go read this clarification because you don't want to end up with that you've been padding it incorrectly. You've been calculating it incorrectly or entering it incorrectly.
We knew what you meant.
Right. We wouldn't imply anybody's intentionally panning. But that, you know, you need to read that rule and check and make sure that you wouldn't have cost to cure. One other thing I want to make sure you're aware of, CFPS announced its new NMLS consumeraccess.org. Every loan originator out there, every company out there needs to go into this website and check your records. Make sure your record is shown correctly. I've checked some loan officers who I know personally, and their name's not coming up. So I'm not quite sure see if they're behind in getting data in here. It seems like in a few states they might be behind in getting names in the system, or maybe they have your employment history incorrect. So go check your record. Make sure this NMLS consumeraccess.org site is right. Also watch, the NMLS has a proposed rule out there. They're looking to take that any action, any regulatory action is going to be made public with your record. Now, you have from one state to the next, when if you stop being a licensed loan officer, say you just want to retire, you want to move someplace warm, maybe not as hot as Texas, but you want to move someplace warm. You want to leave Michigan
hot,
in the winter? Right. And you can't take it anymore, so you go, okay, I don't want to be a loan officer anymore. Well, in some states, they use the term suspend, that your license has been suspended or revoked. So terminology from one state to the next can not make it seem like you necessarily just retired, or maybe you know, so what, understand the terminology for your state, for how your license should appear in NMLS records. Also, I want to just clarify the loan officer loan officer compensation bill that is out there to propose two changes to the LO comp. Now, again, this is legislative, which is different than the rules process. So this is a bill that would have to make its way through, you know, the entire process. But one of them being where if the broker was paid by the borrower directly, that the broker could still compensate the originator. That's one piece of it. And then the second piece is that it would allow originators to give back 30% of the earned compensation to avoid a high-cost loan or for any reason that results in a lower cost to the borrower just prior to closing. It's only a two-page bill. It's actually H.R. 2509 if you want to go read it. FHA is looking to make changes, so we've got to watch FHA now too, H.R. 1977. But like I said, no movement on those on the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. So focus on the other areas of your business. Check your NMLS record and get out there with trying to tackle the crazy rate market going on right now.
Lowest rates than ever, yeah.
That's my report for today, Dave.
Well, we appreciate you dialing in as well from a conference, and good to hear that it's cool up there. It's hot down here, and hot in D.C. with all that's going on for sure. Even though they're on a recess, things are moving along. Appreciate it so much, Alice, and a big thank you to you and your group for all the research that you do to bring this forward each and every week. Folks, we have Todd Mobratton with us from ResNet. We'll be talking to him later in the program, but up next will be the Profit Doctor. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource, used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. It's August 8th. We need to say that in there every once in a while for those of you that are downloading, going, okay, which program am I listening to? August 8th, hot August. And it's summertime. You know that song that goes summertime, 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 summertime? Well, anyway, there's pool parties, lots of things about that. The Profit Doctor, enough of my singing. The Profit Doctor is going to talk to about us of loan level accounting and how it relates to pool parties. You know, folks, anyone who's listening to the broadcast any amount of time knows that only Andy Schell can bring some of the wildest, craziest extremes together and all make sense. What do you got? What does loan accounting and pool parties have in common?
Well, Dave, that's an interesting question, and we will get to that in just one second. Can I ask you a quick question first, though?
Yes, of course.
Who was it that said that subprime loans were AAA rated? Was that S&P?
So I think that might have been S&P.
Oh, I think it was S&P.
I wonder.
So were they right?
Obviously.
Do we believe them now when they downgrade the U.S.? I don't know. I'm just,
you know,
just asking questions here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking that questions, and for sure, certainly the White House is throwing some of that around. Didn't you guys miss it the last time? I think you're missing it in this one, too. So, great point. Anyway, let's
get on
to the topic.
Well, it is summertime, and I enjoyed your tune, James. Dave. I enjoyed your – my son's James, and he's a singer. I enjoyed the tune, Dave. You should do it again.
Well, we want to increase listenership, not drive it away.
All right, it's summertime, and, you know, I enjoy being invited to pool parties. One of the reasons I like going to pool parties so much is there's lots of food, there's water, there's lots to drink. I didn't have to do anything else but show up, but pool parties are fun, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah, they certainly are, and we won't talk why others, some guys might show up at a pool party, but we won't go into that because we're a
classy program. Well, and you have pool parties
at
your house all the time, and you've had pool parties where you put sheets up across the balusters and broadcast and play a movie onto the sheets, so it's like watching a movie out in the pool. It's really cool.
Yeah, we do that. We float in the pool and watch a movie, yep.
And the best thing I like about going to your pool parties is all I have to do is show up. I just show up, and everything's there. And, you know, this is how often business owners and mortgage executives think about their accounting department. All they have to do is show up, and they expect to eat. They expect to have good information, clean information, easy-to-read information, and they think that just by showing up, that's how it happens. And so they expect that just showing up and accounting has all the information ready to go and helps them understand their business better. But, you know, what about the measuring and cutting and stirring and baking and planning and getting the drinks and the ice and the coolers and all the stuff that goes behind getting everything ready to go, getting all the accounting KPIs and everything calculated? And I have a friend who hosts summer pool parties many, many times, and they assure me that there's a lot of preparation that goes in to having a really run well pool party like yours, Dave. And, you know, if you think about doing all the prep for a pool party, then what about at the time it takes to make sure the guests are having fun in the midst of making sure everything's running smoothly? You know, it takes a lot for it to run well. It takes a lot for it to go smoothly. And the same thing is applied when you look at that accounting. It takes a lot of time to make certain that the data is pulled together correctly, the information is complete, the information is correct, and the information is correctly conveyed to the people that are reading it. It's just very, very complicated, and it must be done very, very carefully. And just like preparing food takes a long time, preparing good accounting information takes a long time. And one of the things that's really driving this home now is the new call report. The new
call report
is like a lightning rod, bringing the focus to the accounting results. Because now, you know, here's why. Because now we have to give information to somebody who's going to look at it. The warehouse line lenders have always looked at financials, but not really the detail of our organization to look at tracking the loan application from, you know, closed or denied or withdrawn, and how all of that flows through the whole disposition of your loan applications, and having the technology that you can use and rely upon to give you accurate information about that part of your business, and then moving on and having that same information be available for your financial report. And here's the thing about cool technology. It's essential to have technology that works. And it's not just about having cool technology. It's making certain that the data that's going in is reproduced in a way that makes sense on the way out and it's accurate. You know, Dave, just this weekend I was on the website of a big company dealing with some service issues. And they had a really cool website. And I was using it, and the chat feature didn't work right. The callback feature didn't work right, but it looked really cool. So just because you have a really cool website doesn't mean anything.
Does not.
It's got to work. I mean, back
right.
to the point with Todd today on the segment when we talk about technology, it's not just having cool technology. It's having cool technology that looks cool but also works and produces meaningful information. You know, in a loan transaction, there's lots and lots of data elements, money pieces, dollars, fees that come through, and capturing all the details of a loan closing transaction, including the interim interest, is something that a lot of companies haven't paid much attention to. But with this call report, that one line of the HUD-1 on prepaid interest now has to be captured and reported separately. And now every line on the HUD-1 that's a fee to the lender has to be recorded separately in the books of the mortgage company, and that's new for some folks, and this issue alone is about to explode all over mid-sized mortgage banks. mid-sized mortgage banks who are not agency approved are going to have a huge problem because they've only done half the call report. People have sent in two call reports so far or about to, and that's just half. The other half's coming up at the end of the year. You know, Dave and I, we're doing a webinar on this issue through Campus MBA on September the 20th to learn how to do the financial conditions section of the call report. It hasn't been done yet. And people's information in mortgage transactions right now being done today aren't capturing all the information that needs to be captured. And the payrolls that have been paid since the beginning of the year aren't capturing the right information. We've reviewed lots of mortgage companies, and they're not getting the information right. And the information, if it's not done right, could mean you get shut down. You could lose your state license. You could not get your HUD submitted, HUD financial submitted on time. This is a huge issue. So, but by doing it right, when you do it right, when everybody will be doing it right soon if they aren't already, when everybody does it right, then we get great information. We get to know our profit per branch and our profit per loan originator and our profit per loan. We get all this really amazing information that we can use to run our business. And it seems to me, I don't know about you, Dave, but it seems to me the best choice is to just do it right the first time. You know, don't
do it
partway. And then go back and have to do it again, and then have to fix it again and do it again because you forgot about something else. Dave and I in our firm, along with one of our other senior consultants, are working on a huge project that's going to be hit the front page of the news when it settles out. And we have to make certain every single step along the way is perfect the first time. And that same strategy needs to apply to loan origination, processing, closing, underwriting, accounting, everything through. Just do it right the first time. It sounds so easy. So if you've been capturing data the way you used to capture data, you're probably doing it wrong. You need to go back, get it done right, use technology to improve your process. If you need help with getting your processes fixed, Alice can help with the front-end piece, processing efficiencies. We can make sure all your accounting's running right, your technology's running right. Just don't assume it's right. Get it done. Do it right the first time. And then, you know, we all know that this is a change, and we all know that sometimes spending more money on accounting isn't what we want to do, but it's essential to do it right the first time to have a well-run company. And, you know, get your technology tuned up. Get it done right.
So true.
Get it done right the first time is my point. And then when you're out there measuring, cutting, baking, and getting ready for your new call report, it'll all be perfectly smooth. Lots of yummy diddles.
It's so good. And you're going to have you on next week to talk about this in great detail. Andy Schell is going to be the featured guest on the Hot Topics segment next week. We're going to be talking about the call report, the consequences of doing it wrong. But for those of you that are doing it right, what do you have here? It is one of the most exciting tools. And we get excited about numbers here at our firm and managing by numbers. And we're surprised at the number of people that say they are that aren't. You're not going to want to mix next week. And see what analogies Andy can bring forward to us from this next week when he's got a whole 20 minutes to talk to us. So, Andy, thank you so much for bringing it to us. It's interesting how you relate pool parties. I thought you were going to go with pool parties. You're going to go into loan pools or something like that. But, you know, you did a great job.
We'll do that next time.
All right, folks. We've got Todd Mulbratton coming up with us in just a minute, who is the president and COO of U.S. ResNet. Exciting topic about technology and where it's going. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. It is August 8th, and it is a great day to be talking about technology. It's keep talking about the heat. It's triple digits. My wife had me come to the computer screen. She says, you want to see what the 10-day forecast looks like here for the next 10 days? I guess a 10-day forecast would just do that. Triple digits every day. The low is at 78, and the high is somewhere between 102 to 105, 107 for the next 10 days. Unbelievable. And when I see something hot, sometimes you want to run from it. But there's something hot that I recently looked at, and it's a piece of technology that I'm a technology tool, a whole structure, infrastructure that I just got so excited about. A number of months ago, I got to go into an office of U.S. Res, which is a REO management firm, and I saw a technology running inside their shop. And if you know anything about REO product, it is without question one of the more complicated transactions out there. And I saw a technology tool that brought all of this together and took out the friction. I go, what would that look like if we could get something like that working inside of the retail process, the mortgage process, all the way through it? And we have as our special guest today, Todd Mobrun, President COO, of ResNet, of a U.S. Res, and who also has a wholly owned subsidiary, ResNet. Todd's got a strong background of mortgage experience, 15 years alone in distressed assets and real estate. He has nearly 20 years of experience as a business operator. I've had the privilege of being with him in his offices in Lake Forest, California, there in Southern California, a beautiful part of Orange County, California, and met with he and his team. Very impressive, and I am excited to have him on the program. Todd, welcome to Lickin' on Lending. Appreciate you taking the time to come in for us.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
For a lot of people, you went to the website, Todd. They saw that we were going to be talking about accounting if they looked at it this last week. And I bumped Andy out to next week because I felt this topic needs to be brought forward this week because I want to get people aware of what's going on. Let's get into talking. Let's start right off and get people familiar with ResNet. And let's start talking about, you know, this product, a product you've recently started promoting. Can you describe what this is and what it means to the real estate community?
Sure. ResNet is basically a community of software applications, online software applications that streamline the real estate transaction process. And what we do is we identify the buyer and the seller who create a real estate transaction and find ways to close that communication gaps all the way between the two of them, as well as all the third parties in the middle that support that transaction, meaning the real estate agents, closing title groups, lending operations, et cetera. So we
and the gap
started.
And the gap, let me interrupt. The gap you're talking about, and what I'm so excited, and I didn't get this in the opening part of my comments, was the gap you're talking about is the communication gap.
That's,
which is the biggest
correct.
Challenge. And so when we say gap, I really want to put bold prints, highlight the word in everyone's mind, communication. Folks, this is the first tool that I have seen come on the mortgage landscape that takes a social – that uses aspects of social media. It's not a social media software. It is not that. It's a technology tool that enables communication. But it uses the lessons learned from Facebook and other social media sites – and brings it into this product. So that's the gap that Todd's referring to, listeners, is the communication gap. Sorry for interrupting you, but I want to make sure we really brought that out clear.
Yeah, no problem. And just to understand, I mean, those of you who've been in the industry for a long period of time, if we remember the last distressed environment we had in the late 80s, early 90s, how we transacted real estate transactions back then, utilizing fax machines, overnight mail, lots of phone calls, hard copy filing systems, is very chaotic. Now take a market that we have today with that much more increased volume and try to do it the same way. It just doesn't work. So we actually focused on the REO transaction first because it's the most complex. It's where you have the most hands touching the transaction, as well as the timelines are so strict that we needed to find a way to streamline that communication and bring all parties together. So when we launched the REO application in 2003, it was when we still had a very good economy. It was on the up and on the rise to where no one's really worried about REOs, but it was a perfect time to test the application and streamline it for what we call the asset manager, who's the actual seller in an REO transaction, to where they'd be able to invite real estate agents, other third parties like closing, title, et cetera, on their transaction go through a tasking process so that everybody knew what aspect was due next, what the timeline was, what the details of it were, and give them the ability to put up data, images, et cetera, come back to the asset manager, start streamlining that into electronic filing archive system, as well as pull exception reporting to find out where the gaps were. So what we did is, as a result of it, we eliminated several emails, most of the emails, lots of phone calls. We eliminated the overnight package system. Fax machines were absolute after that. We really revolutionized the way that transaction
was done. Do we even use fax machines anymore? Yes, we
do.
We shouldn't. I think that's exactly right. Alice, do you remember fax machines? Do you still use
them?
Yes,
I do. I remember looking at that, 20-some-odd years going, wow, how'd they get that piece of paper over here? So, anyway.
Yeah,
no, I still have customers who use fax machines. So, well, Todd, where do your products and services fit into mortgage banking then?
Well, mortgage banking has evolved a lot around the real estate transaction itself, and that's really what we focus on is the real estate transaction. So in mortgage banking, particularly in servicing, when they foreclose on an asset and it becomes REO, they have to reliquidate that asset for the investor to try to recoup as many of those dollars as possible. So that's where we started. Next comes around the loss mitigation process around all these delinquencies that we have in mortgage banking that we tried with loan modifications. We had some success with it, but not great. So now everyone's pushing towards the short sale side of it. And if we take what we did in the REO aspect of it, there's a lot of similarities in short sale with the big difference of now we have to bring in the consumer, the actual home borrower, and bring them onto an application to tie in to these online applications. So we've now connected into the short sale side. But we don't want to just deal with what's here today, being distressed assets, all the doom and gloom. We're also preparing for tomorrow's business where we're looking for an upside in equity sales, where we see a lot big of a loan origination boom and a lot more homeowners buying properties and a lot more sellers having equity in their properties and selling them to the next and moving on to the next product. So we're already starting to introduce other applications for the homeowner, for real estate agents to get involved, the lending groups, et cetera, to start transacting equity sales the same way we did in the distress side.
I think that's it, and I keep going back to this. We're going to be highlighting the communication part of this, but I know Andy always has interest in the financial aspects of everything about our industry. Mr. Shell?
Well, yeah, of course, and always. I want to know about the financial stuff. And when you deal with something like you're talking about, Todd, very sophisticated, it's making a very complex transaction be simple means that we're relying on technology to do a lot of stuff and capturing a lot of information and capturing a lot of data. So how is ResNet getting involved in the financial aspect of the mortgage industry?
Well, we're mainly focusing on the pre-qualification process and the updates of the loan process. So if you take any real estate transaction, obviously when you get to the offer negotiation process, whoever's submitting that offer needs to be backed up by a pre-qualification of a loan for the seller so the seller take them seriously and actually engage and go under contract. We started off on the REO process, and even about 2 years ago, we owned more than half of the REO market, meaning more than half of the REO market professionals in it are utilizing our software to do these REO transactions. One of the biggest problems they all had when it come to properties under contract is they were bombing, going back on market, 75% of them due to non-financing, that whatever pre-approval process they had in play just didn't stick, it wasn't legitimate enough, et cetera. So the idea started came out actually 2 years ago, we're just now bringing to fruition, where we said, what if we partnered up with some national lenders, tied them in through via web services into our applications to where anytime an offer came in, the buyer would be directed to go to our website, get cross-qualified on a loan, we would take all that cross-qual data, attach it to the offer, and submit it to the seller. Now the seller knows they have a legitimate offer with a legitimate cross-qual on it. If the buyer actually went with that loan, we'd be able to keep that web service in play and give loan status to all the parties involved so everybody knows what stage it's in, what documentation's been provided, et cetera, to actually streamline that. And that actually just got launched last week and is already starting to work in motion and becoming very successful.
So you've just started that process of really starting to say how you can introduce that into this product or into the front side of the business is really
correct.
What you're you're doing. We're going to hear more about that. I want to get, can't wait to, but we've got to say a big thank you to one of our sponsors, and they make all of this possible. So we'll be right back in, Todd, in just a few moments after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower, from a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges. PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Welcome back. This is Dave Licken. We have our special guest, Todd Mulbrotten, President and COO of ResNet. An exciting piece of new technology that I have that I don't know that we're going to get this totally explained on this program. So we're going to have you back, Todd. I can already tell that. But I want to get through explaining what you guys do. But I want to go to another question. As it relates to technology and the importance of technology in our real estate industry, I want to get your perspective on all of that.
Our industry consists of communication, and we really – want to compare it to the communication on a consumer side, because that's what we deal with consumers on a daily basis.
Right.
If you take the average consumer, they're all on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. And we ask, why is this such a phenomenon that they're on the social media aspect? And the reason is because consumers are ready for a more efficient way to stay connected with one another. Then we look at the use of technology around the real estate transaction, where we're dealing with the same folks. And it's evolved over the past decade quite a bit, but the way we communicate in real estate transactions with buyers and sellers is still in the dark ages. We're still depending on emails. There are still fax machines going, even though we don't allow our staff to ever touch them or put them on a phone number on their business card for a fax machine. But it's still very much in the dark ages, to where we have to make sure we embrace technology around the real estate transaction because the consumer is ready for it. The difficulty part about it, Dave, is that you have to have the proper foundation for all these different consumer and user types
right.
of a real estate transaction to actually facilitate a Facebook or social media type atmosphere to make that communication work. And I think that's where ResNet really sets itself apart in the industry, is we created six different applications for six different user types to go to communicate and manage and be exposed in what we call the ResNet community. We first built the REO application for asset managers, which is on the servicing side. We then built the short sale application for the servicing side for short sales. We launched the homeowners portal, where a homeowner could go to say, I want to liquidate my property because I'm upside down, I want to do a short sale, or I've got equity in it and I want to connect with a real estate agent to sell it and gain equity on it. We created an application called AMP, where we send all the real estate agents and brokers, regardless if they're the selling agent or the listing agent. We created a buyer's portal, where a buyer could go to search for properties, engage with a real estate agent, engage with a national lender, get cross-qualified, stay connected to this whole transaction. And then we created a vendor portal, where we send all the other third parties, like the closing groups, title groups, valuation providers across the country, et cetera. We take these six applications,
yep.
we connect them all together so that it can do any transaction type, regardless of what type it is, and we've just come up with a new philosophy called ResNet Connect, which really is the parity to social media to make it simplified for that consumer to do these transactions and communicate within these applications.
Yeah, and we're not talking about a few transactions that this application has already been working as the backbone of the REO management, you know, company that you're supporting.
We've closed over a million transactions since its inception.
Million transactions. This product's already closed. So this is, and I want to make sure we drive, this is not a new piece of technology. It's new to market, but a not new technology as it relates to out there and experimental. You've closed over 1 million transactions.
Correct.
Go ahead.
And if you take on today's activity, what we're seeing in there, just from an offer negotiation process, and I bring up the offer negotiation because there are several parties involved in that offer negotiation. You have the buyer, the selling agent, the listing agent, and the seller themselves, and then you've got a lender that's attached to the back there somewhere that's got a cross call to say, I'm going to back this offer up with a loan, that we've got over 45,000 offer negotiations going through there per month.
Did I hear that right? You have 45,000 offer negotiations, the iterative process of back and forth going through there each month?
That's correct, Dave.
Wow. Can you imagine trying to do that the old conventional way? I mean, you've been in the REO management space and managing distressed assets for 15 years. You remember the old days. What has this done as far as bringing efficiency to that whole overall process? And what can it do if you look forward
I remember the fax machines lined up across the wall. Sometimes I would see up to 35 of them lined up against the wall with all these different lines coming in, baskets in front of them with one or two full-time employees, but nothing but pulling faxes and organizing them in these baskets. Saw the overnight packages coming in, people ripping those open, reading through the materials, organizing those in another basket. And just the chaos of trying to make sense of where these things go was unbelievable.
Alice, that's the kind of friction that we were talking about, that I was talking about, that's in the process that this thing uses that is so effective. You remember those offices, Alice, where we see those fax machines against the wall? I mean, they still exist.
Well,
but
I remember carbon paper. Now, Todd, I've been looking at your site here. So does each individual player in this essentially then become a part of that community for that transaction? They all sign up, you know, at least from looking at your website, you know, I'm trying to understand a little bit about how they actually all work together. And so your all your communication and your tasks lists are going in there. So are people still using email or
No.
How's that, you know, can you tell? Okay.
No, I mean, I'm not going to say that we've eliminated email, but it's limited in how much email they're actually using. What we want to create is we want to create one central repository where we can capture all the image, the data, messaging, et cetera. And we do that by giving them an actual portal to log into. So everyone has a unique portal that they log into, and the portals talk to each other. One of the key things to understand of how they get connected with each other is we've embedded this technology, what we call ResNet Connect. It's just basically an embedded tool that we put in each of these portals that the user can go to, and they can send an invite through the portal to another person, which will send them what they essentially call a ResNet Connect invite. So very similar to like a Facebook, but it's on a property level. And it shows you what parties are currently working on that particular transaction. So you kind of give you an idea of who you might want to invite, you know, on the transaction itself. And it works. So the email comes into play to where when someone invites you, you will get an email notification. You click on the email link, and it takes you to ResNet. If you're not already registered, it'll ask you to register. And then once you're registered, now you work strictly within the ResNet community. Within the ResNet community, you have instant messaging, message logs, et cetera, so you can communicate right within the platform, which is critical because unlike an email, it's actually going to show a history and a date and time stamp of all the communication happening between all the parties in that real estate transaction.
And you're holding all that. So, you know, I have several questions kind of running around my brain from an operation side. Do you envision it's the originator then kind of being out in front, being able to help coordinate the tasks list? You know, it sounds to me like I might have some dual entry with my LOS. You have some communication. You know, how do you solve for that? I've got information in your portal, but then I also need to get stuff in my LOS.
Yeah, so we do that via web services. When we work with like a national lender, for the loan type process, those types of lenders don't come into the ResNet community per se. They work within their own applications, their own platforms, and we tie them together via web services. And those tasks generated in your system will feed over via web services into the ResNet system and show a task for the actual consumer or buyer. They'll upload it into ResNet, which will feed back to web services back over to your lending side.
Gotcha.
So you avoid the dual entry.
Here's the thing that Alice and Andy that got me so fired up. When I'm sat here and looked at the challenge of managing, and they get handed up to 15,000. They're managing up to 15,000 properties in any given month. And these, like you said, Todd, has a very short fuse. I mean, you've got to get compressed, I think is the word you used. You've got to get these things done quickly because you're under contract to get rid of that property within certain, within certain time frames. Am I correct?
Absolutely. We've got analytics that have shown that we've actually cut time frames literally in half throughout the real estate transaction. We've cut down files days on market, time to process under contract, all the way back to the beginning, just a marketing strategy in general. We've cut it down immensely.
To get people to just do things. If your system is giving them those task lists and consistent task lists, I mean, that's how you can cut down the time. Yeah.
And then, Alice, and then they have the ability to communicate where it's almost done in a messaging system. And I've been saying for some time, email is passé. It's past. It's not going to be here in the future. It is getting closer to we want instant messaging. When I got to get a hold of you, Alice, I can pick up my cell phone and text your cell phone because I can tell you got it and you know you got it and you respond right back. And so I think when it comes to critical transactions, critical processes, I want to just say this one. And Todd, we're not out of time yet, but we're going to run out of time. But I want to lay this out. I try to lay out a word picture. If you can imagine, listener, receiving thousands of transactions each month come to you, properties that you got to manage, and that is involved in managing that. Again, we're talking about ResNet Connect, which is connecting all the various vendors involved in it. You think about it. You have someone has to go out and do a BPO on that property. Someone has to go out and do if when they're doing the BPO, they notice that there's home improvements that are needed, so they got to get a contractor involved in it. Someone's got to be mowing the yard. You got all these services go all the way around. Todd, what's so amazing about this is you put one of these properties out on the out on ResNet Connect. It automatically communicates through a message to all the people in that market that could possibly could bid or be a part of that transaction. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think that another important aspect to point out here, Dave, is also that all of our applications keep each of those unique users engaged. Like our buyer portal, for example. You take a buyer who might go onto a media site to search for property. Once they find the property, they disengage from the site. Then they go connect with a real estate agent. They go maybe to another website to search for a loan. Once they find the loan and they work with a loan officer, they get back off the site, and now they're working via telephone, fax machine, et cetera. Our sites will keep that unique user engaged all the way through, all the way to the close of a file even to help them out, soup up their property, get the walls painted, change the carpets, et cetera, afterwards, because all of us as buyers, when we buy something, we want to usually do something to that asset. So the key is keep them engaged.
You know
all
my
the way
wife,
through.
Don't you, Todd? You must know my wife because she is always wanting to start a remodeling. I think it's a common denominator. And people want to get in there. And you're the connection. You're like the new phone system, the new fax system that is going to replace the way we're communicating. And that's why I was so excited to get you on the program to get people start dialing in and realizing that there is a new tool out there. It's going to break paradigms, and it's going to keep us connected and allow us to do some to take the friction out and literally cut time frames dramatically down. So imagine out there, Mr. Loan Officer, someone gets a piece of property, you get an email and notification, you happen to be in the area, you can take the application and you pass on your rates and you stay connected with that person, not just at that point, but everyone. You want to know how they're doing a pre-qualification? Do you find out where the bid process is, how the realtors are communicating on the buy and the sell, and how that offer is going? You know exactly where that transaction is. Folks, this is going to be a game changer in the way we communicate, and I want to make sure that we try to get this. We're not going to get it done. We only have 7 minutes left, and we're going to have to cut this off, Todd.
Dave, too, if I could.
Yes, please, Andy, jump in.
You know, one of the really cool things about it, too, is they've got an iPhone app for the AMP.
Oh, see there, I knew for you iPhone users out there, I'm still stuck with a Droid. I'm waiting for the new iPhone 5 to come out. But you know what? They've got it. They do. I mean, when you guys look at this, and Todd, I want to give everyone the website again so that they can go. Alice has already been there and perusing around. I'm sure Andy has too. So Andy picked up and they have an iPhone app. So what is the website they can go start getting until we get you back to talk more about it?
You can go to www.res.net. That's res.net.
So, folks, you have got to go check out this technology. I was in Washington, D.C., as many of you know, last week. Everywhere I went, I am just bubbling over about enthusiasm for this product and what it can do to take the friction out of the process. Todd, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. It's good to have you. We can't wait to have you back. And I figure out now I've got to figure out a way to get a do this in conjunction with a webcast so we can not only do that, but we can actually show them some of this. So we got to have you back. Will you be willing to come back soon?
Absolutely.
All right. If they want to get a hold of you, what's the phone number they want to talk and actually come and get more information? How can they get a hold of you?
Best place to go is just go to our website, res.net. There's different lines on there depending on what you want to talk to us about.
Sound good. Well, Todd, thank you so much, everyone over there, and appreciate it. Can't wait to have you back.
Thanks again, Dave.
You bet. Folks, it's fun to sit and find some new things that are happening in the industry. We're still dealing with a lot of the old. We'll be right back after this brief break to do a wrap on all the things that are going on and a quick update on what's happening in the markets.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I look forward to next week's program. We're going to be talking with Andy Schell and talking about the call report. A lot of people do not think about the call report as anything but just a real inconvenience. You are not going to want to miss next week's conversation in our Hot Topics segment, because we're going to be asking questions of every way we can to talk about how you could effectively use the call report to begin to bring information about or to glean information about your operation out of there. Let's take a quick look at the markets. I'm looking at the MBS quote line website right now, and it says MBS prices are up 25-30 seconds. It looks like the volatility is helping bonds overall. I haven't taken a look at the rest of it. Alice Alvey, I want to come back to you real quickly and talk briefly about that 30% of the fact that a loan officer can make a contribution. Would you clarify that? I want to make sure that is really understood. We have literally 3 minutes, and so if you could go back and cover that, because that was something that was a little discouraging. Loan officers on a transaction could not make a contribution. That sounds like that's changing, correct?
No, that they could. Right. So right now, the way Dodd-Frank is worded for a broker is that, or an originator, a broker originator, right, is that they wouldn't, you know, you get that situation where the loan's just about to close and the borrower says, hey, I'm going to go down the street, or I'm short to close, or the cost came in a couple $100 higher. For whatever reason, the broker wants to be able to give the customer a $300 credit, you know, just not anything monumental necessarily. And in today's world, they can't do that. They can't change their compensation. And so this bill is proposing to allow that, and the wording goes, when producing a mortgage originator, when requested by a borrower, may forfeit or contribute toward bona fide third-party expenses or origination fees by no more than 30% of earned compensation. So today that number is zero. So to get the ability to give back as much as 30% of the compensation, I think to some folks will be a good thing, will be a good option to have.
It is going to be a good option. Andy, do you think that's going to have a significance with these? How do you think that's going to be received, Mr. Schell? Profit
Doctor?
I think
it's going to be a good thing. Anything that helps us have consumers have a more positive experience in the mortgage transaction is a good way to go. And if we can give some feedback to the consumer to pay for certain things that we can't now, that's good. And having originators within a broker office be able to get paid is a good thing too.
Yeah, it's nice it's one of those areas where it's an unlevel playing field right now between the brokers and the lenders. So, you know, just to clarify, it would be you've done the good faith estimate, you said your compensation, but you'd be able to give the borrower a credit just prior to closing.
Well, the drums are the drums, like they used to say in the movies, that old Western movies, signals that something's happening, and that means the end of the show is happening. I want to say thank you to everyone who tunes in and listens to us each and every week. Tell others about it. We appreciate you dialing in and being a part of it. Again, remember, tune in next week. We're talking about the call report and all the information you can glean from it. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.